All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. First, I want to thank Rabbi Yehuda for giving the shiur over the last couple of days. Thank you very much. Rabosai, let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Hei 55. And we are picking up from the second line down, Tashmas. Remember again, the Gemara is 55a, second line down. So if you remember again, the Gemara is picking up on a statement made by Rav Nachman, or I should say an inference, that the Gemara made based on the Shita of Rav Nachman on Nundalam Beis 54b, where Rav Nachman said that we hold ad velo ad bichlal. That ultimately, again, when giving shiurim, so ultimately, again, shiurim are ad velo ad bichlal, up until, but not including. So the Gemara now is going to challenge that assertion from a number of different sources. The Gemara says, Tashma, milug ad sa'a b'reviyah. So what are we talking about over here? So if you look at Rashi, third line down from the top in Rashi, milug va'ad sa'a, kli shahayat chilasa yoser milug. So we'll say if you had a clear utensil that initially held more than a lug, kigon shnayim o shlosha lugim o yoser al sa'a, shir shivara b'reviyah. So what we're talking about over here is as follows. If you have a utensil which broke, and now I want to know, does the shard go ahead and retain the identity of a kli, so that it still has the ability to be makabel tuma? So the Gemara says, as long as it has the ability, if the kli is a size of milug ad sa'a, so if it's the size ultimately again of a kli which holds from a lug up until a sa'a of liquid, berevius. Ultimately again, as long as it can hold a revius of liquid, it still has the identity of a kli, and halacha lemaisa, it is still mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, my love, sa'a kilemata. We'll say, so when we say lug ad sa'a, doesn't sa'a mean what? Doesn't sa'a mean that the if you have exactly a sa'a, that is treated as if it was less than a sa'a? We'll say that the shear includes milug ad sa'a, including what? Including a sa'a. See, even if the utensil itself holds a sa'a, the shear for the shard is still going to be a revius, which I will say means what? Would mean ultimately ad v'ad bichlal. To which the Gemara says, lo, sa'a kilamala. To which the Gemara says, no, at the end of the day it means sa'a kilamala. Ultimately, again, ad v'lo ad bichlal. Tashma, misa'a v'ad sa'asayim b'chatzak. So we'll say same idea over here. If the utensil ultimately, again, measures from a sa'a to two sa'a, and the kli breaks, and now you have a shard. So we'll say, so how large does the shard have to be to still have the identity of a kli, and therefore, again, has the ability to be makabel tuma? So misa'a v'ad sa'asayim b'chatzi lug. So it has to hold a half a lug of liquid. My love, sasayim kilemata. Rabosai, are we not saying that ultimately, again, if the kli holds two sa'a, so when we say sa'a ad sasayim, so Rabosai, understand, the fundamental tension over here is not unique to Maseches Chulin. This is any time you say a shir. Shiurim are always from, right, this amount to that amount. So what happens if you have that amount? What happens if you have the upper amount? Is the upper amount considered like everything below it? Or is the upper amount considered to be like something distinct from that which is below it? That's the machlokas. Ad v'ad bichlal, ad v'lo ad bichlal. So the Mishnah says here that if you have a utensil which holds a sa'ah up until two sa'ah, right? That halacha is that if you have a shard, as long as the shard holds a half a lug, ultimately, the kli is still makabel tuma. My love, sasayim kilamata. Bosei, does this not mean, ultimately, again, that the shear of sasayim, of two sa'ah, is like the same amount as the amounts below it? To which the Gemara says, lo, sasayim kilamata. Gemara says, no, this is not a raya of ad, velo ad, ad bichlal. Rather, again, it's a, it could be also sasayim kilamata. That ultimately, again, it's ad velo ad bichlal, like Rav Nachman. So Mar goes vaytivatanya, but we learned lug kilamata, sa'a kilamata, sasayim kilamata. But I will say, but we learned as follows, that the halacha is that in these shiurim, a lug is considered to have the same status as the amount less than a lug. A sa'a is considered to have the amount, the same shear as the amount, or I should say, same halachos as the amount below it. Sasayim kilamata, to which the Gemara says, hasam l'chumra. So this is actually quite interesting. At this point in time, Shabbos said, we were assuming that the status of these upper threshold amounts is dependent on the machlokis of ad v'ad bichlal or ad v'lo ad bichlal. But say, remember again the first time we saw this machlokis? Remember the first time we saw this machlokis? Brachos. Good. Excellent. Right. Again, this is the first time we had this machlokas. Ultimately, again, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, in Tfilas HaShachar, when the Mishnah says that you could daven Tfilas HaShachar at Dalad Shos. Right? What does it mean, until the fourth hour? Does it mean until the fourth hour and including the fourth hour? Until the fourth hour, not including the fourth hour? So this machlokas follows us throughout Shas. Whenever you tell me from something until something, how do I understand that upper threshold? Is that upper threshold included in the amounts below it? Or is the upper threshold given a separate status from everything below it? So this is just the same machlokas, which the Gemara says, the truth is, that has absolutely nothing to do with our discussion. This discussion is governed by something else. Hasam l'chumra. I will say, in reality, ultimately, again, all of these shiurim were ultimately, again, governed l'chumra. What does that mean? Here we go. Dom Rabbi Avel, Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiuri chachamim, lahachmir. I will say, in general, whenever we have rabbinic measurements, so rabbinic measurements are always, we're always machmir with them. Chutz mikigris shel ksamra. I will say, with one exception, which is by hilchos nida, if a woman has a stain, right, and that stain is smaller than a gris, right, I will say, so gris, if you look at Rashi says over here, chutz mikigris, actually, kol shirim shel chachamim, Rashi says, lahachmir, so the halacha is, when it comes to shir of the Rabbanon, ultimately we're machmir. The only shir, the only rabbinic shir which we are makel with, is gris shel psamim. Rashi says, shaninu benida deharoa kesem shel dam bebigdok gris tamei demisapkin alei bedam nida afagav. So let's listen to this. So the halacha is, if a woman sees a gris or less than a kesem, or less than a gris of a kesem, ultimately, again, we go ahead and we are makel with that. But that's the exception to the rule. In general, the halacha is, and also we know, of course, that halacha by Hilchos Nida, that if a stain is less than a gris, it does not pose a halachic problem. It's perhaps one of the most important halachos in Hilchos Nida. But again, that's the exception to this Shir Dirabanan L'chumra rule. Otherwise, Rabosai, what's happening over here is not a din of ad velo ad bichlal or ad ve'ad bichlal, but rather, again, it's a din in being machmer in rabbinic measurements. Deka nami diktani, Rabosai, the truth is, the raya to this is what we saw in yesterday's daf, with the rope of the bed, dahi chamisha kilamala asara kilamata. That also we saw the case of the bed where the rope is 5 tefachim, it has the shear of that which is above it, and if it's 10, it has the shear of that which is below it. The fact that sometimes we treated the measurements like higher amounts or lower amounts is indicative of the fact that halacha lemaisa, when it comes to shiurim d'rabbanon, ultimately we are machmir. The only exception to that rule is the gris of the nida. Okay, good. Weiter. Mital hatchal. So once again, remember in the last Mishnah, we went through all of the deficiencies in the animal, which halacha l'maaseh again do not render the animal a treifa, allow the animal still to be treated as kosher. So next was mital hatchal. So we'll say if the spleen was removed, the animal is still kosher. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Avira Mishmei Dirava, Lo Shanu Ella Mital. So what Rav Avira says, it's dafka if the spleen was removed that the animal is kosher. Aval nikev, but if the spleen was perforated, then treifa. The animal will be a treifa. So says the Gemara, Masiv Rabbi Yossi bar Avin vitim Rabbi Yossi bar Zavida. So Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, other says Yossi bar Zavida objects. He says as follows. We're actually going to see this case later on, but we'll have a little of a reference to it now. Choteich me'ubar shebe'me'eha, mutar ba'achila. So let's listen to this case. If a person, an animal is pregnant, person reaches into the animal and cuts a piece of the uber, right? Cuts off one of the limbs of the fetus. If you look at Rashi, choteich me'ubar shemaya behema, v'lo yotze mitocha. So let's say the animal is still in utero. Person reaches into the mother and goes ahead and cuts off a limb of the animal. So what's the halacha? Mutter. So let's say, when we say mutter ba'achila, if you look at Rashi says mutter, so we'll say, ultimately, again, what we're going to see is that halacha lemaisa, when we're going to see one of the interesting halachas that we will find is that when you shecht an animal, if it turns out that animal was pregnant, So the uber, the baby, is permitted with the shechita of the mother. Also, we're going to see some pretty dramatic cases of that. Even in a situation where, let's say, you went ahead and you shechted a mother, and the baby was ready to come out, and you open up the animal, and the baby mamish starts jumping around, it's called the ben pakua, right? The halacha is that ultimately that animal does not need to be shechted again. That animal is called, considered halachically dead already. Ud nitter with the shechita of the mother. So in this case of here, where you reached into the mother, you go ahead and you cut off a limb of the animal. When you go ahead and you shech the mother, that limb becomes permitted. However, minatchol uminakloyos aser ba'achila. But I will say, interestingly enough, if you were to go ahead and reach into the mother, right, and cut of the mother, the primary animals, right, its spleen or its kidneys, ultimately, again, the animal would be, I should say, aser ba'achila. Now, I will say, we're assuming over here that aser ba'achila means you can't eat of the tchol and you can't eat of the klayos. Now, I will say, which doesn't bother us now because for us what that yields is a very important piece. Ha'behem agufa sharia. Now, I will say, what that does tell us is that what? If you reach into the animal and cut its spleen, then what's the halacha? It appears, although you might not be able to eat the spleen for whatever the reason, the animal is kosher. Now that is a direct contradiction to Rav Avira. Because what did Rav Avira just say? If the spleen is removed, the animal is kosher. If the spleen is cut, the animal is a trefa. According to this price, it seems to be clear that if the spleen is cut, the animal is still totally kosher. To which the Gemara says, not a contradiction. No. When the Brisa said that halacha lemaisa, if you cut the spleen, it's aser, it didn't just mean the spleen is aser, it meant ultimately again that the animal is aser as well. The animal as a whole is aser as well. I did the Tana Reisha Mutar Bachila, Tana Nami Seifa Aser Bachila. But I say, since the Reisha, the first part of the Brisa over here, was referring to the item you cut, so too again, the second part of the Brisa also referred to the item that you cut. V by Seima. The other possibility is Nikev Lachud, V'nechtach Lachud. But I will say, interestingly enough, there may also be a distinction between a perforated spleen and a cut spleen, which is interesting. It could very well be that a perforated spleen makes the animal a trefa, whereas a cut spleen does not. Okay, so we'll say, so we end off over here is with Rav Avira's statement in the name of Rava, that halacha lemaisa, it is only a that if the spleen is removed, the animal is kosher, as it says in the Mishnah, but if the spleen is perforated, that makes the animal a trefa. Okay, hold on to that because we're going to reference that back again. Nitlu haklayos. We'll say next. If the kidneys are removed, the animal is also still kosher. Amar rachish bar pav mishmei derav. So say rachish bar pav is the name of Rav as follows. Loksa bekulya achos trefa. If the animal develops essentially kidney disease in one of the kidneys. Now Rashi says over here, loksa bekulya, last Rashi on the last line, kigon malya mugla. For example, if the kidney fills with pus, if an animal develops kidney disease in one of its kidneys, the way it really has to be read is, if an animal develops a kidney disease, even if the disease is only in one of the kidneys, certainly if it's in both kidneys, right? So they qualified. So if the animal develops kidney disease, ultimately, again, the animal is a trefa. So we'll say, so again, what's interesting about this is as follows. What's interesting is you see that there are certain parts of the body where apparently if it's not there, you could survive. If it's there, but diseased, for example, in the case of kidneys, or perforated in the case of a spleen, that's where ultimately, again, it develops, which causes the animal to be a trefa. Which if you think about, we'll say also is like an incredible musser. Right? See, if you look at like diseased or perforated organs as negative midos, you see sometimes in life a person lacks certain qualities. If you lack certain qualities, you could always acquire those qualities. If you have diseased parts of your persona, Rabbo, say those are the things which destroy you. Right? The perforated spleens of life and the diseased kidneys of life, those are the things that could destroy you. If they're not there, you could figure out kind of how to compensate in other ways and develop other mechanisms. If what you have is broken, that's when the trefus comes in. Incredible insight. But Amri Ma'arav, Osan Aristotle said, Bahu dimatoy lekusa amadeis lemakam chara. So we'll say, but that is only if the kidney disease spread to what we call makom charetz. Rashi says, tap Rashi nun hamid beis lemakom charetz shagidin meurin sham b'mtsas akuya. This is what says the place where we're going to see. Literally, gidin meurin means the sinews are there, and it is the middle of the kidney. What's the makom charetz? Lechivra ditusei masni. So we'll say it is the white matter underneath the loins. Quite literally, the white matter again is in the kidney. The white matter in the kidney underneath the loins. So we'll say, so again, if the animal has kidney disease that spreads to that area, that ultimately renders the animal a treifa. Rav Nechunya, shaltinu lekulu trufai d'ma'arava. This is actually very interesting. I asked all of the trufai in Eretz Yisrael. I'll say, trufai is an interesting word. If you look at Rashi, tap Rashi on the first line on Rashi, trufai, more horaos ala trefos. So I'll say, so trufai is a name for those who paskin, the expert poskim on trefos. I asked all the trufai in Eretz Yisrael, va'amruli, and they said to me, Hilchasa ki rachish bar papa. They both say the halacha follows rachish bar papa. So remember again, rachish bar papa, who's who we're quoting right now. Even though the Mishnah said that if the kidneys are removed, ultimately the animal is kosher, rachish bar papa said that if the animal has kidney disease, even only in one kidney, the animal will be a treifa. So the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael, they said the halacha follows rachish bar papa, v'les hilchasa ki rav avira. Rabbi said, ultimately, again, the halacha does not follow Rav Avira. What does Rav Avira say? Rav Avira was the one by the spleen who said that if the spleen is perforated, the animal is a treifa. So apparently, again, in Eretz Yisrael, they said the halacha does not follow Rav Avira regarding the spleen. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Avira nami lo amran ella bikul shei. Because ultimately, again, even Rav Avira Bosai was only referring to kul shei, which means just a moment. V'lo aval b'sumche treifa. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. V'lo amran, Rashi says, d'les hilchas akavaseh, ela d'inkev b'kul shei. Furthermore, again, it will say, when do we say that the halacha doesn't follow Rav Avira? That's only when the perforation is in the narrow part of the spleen. But if the perforation is b'sumche, Rashi says, ba'oviyav lemala, in the upper, thicker part of the spleen, that does render the animal a treifa. Aval b'sumche treifa ishtayir be ka'obe dinar zav k'shera. We'll say that by the upper thicker part of aval b'sumche treifa, I'm sorry, v'yishtayir be ka'obe dinar zav. But we'll say that at the end of the day, in the upper part of the spleen, there is still a dinar's worth, a thickness of a gold dinar there, then ultimately, again, the animal will still remain kosher. Okay? I'm mad, Rabba. Kalap hosel b'reya, kosher b'kuya. We'll say, so now the Gemara says as follows. Anything that invalidates, anything that is a psul, right, or would create a trefa situation in the lungs, ultimately, again, is kasher in the kidneys. So I'll say, so what does that mean? Let's give an example of that. Shaharei nekev pasul bereya, but kasher b'kuya. Well, so an example of that would be a hole. If you have a perforation in the lungs, the animal is a trefa. Yet, if you have a perforation in the kidneys, right, the halacha is the animal is totally fine. So we'll say, remember again, in the kidneys, it appears that the only thing that's problematic in the kidneys is what? Is kidney disease, right? And even then, it's only if the kidney disease really spreads to the center, or to the white matter of the kidneys. So for example, again, lungs, if there's a perforation, the animal's a treifa. Yet if there's a perforation, ultimately where? In the kidneys, the animal is fine. The Gemara says, Shari neka pasol rei v'kasha v'koi v'choshagein, hecha d'kasha v'rea kasha v'koya. Now the more so I'll say anything that does not render the animal a trefa by lungs certainly will allow the animal to be kosher by kidneys. So maski v'raf tanchuma v'klalahu, Tchum says, really? Do you think that klal is true? I'll tell you why it's not true. V'hari mugla, we'll say, look at the case of pus. D'kasha v'rea, we'll say, if you have a lung filled with pus, the halach, as we saw already, that this does not render the animal a trefa. U'pasol b'kulya, yet halacha l'maisa what? The animal is pasul by the kidneys. So we'll say if you have a kidney filled, that's kidney disease, right? If you have a kidney filled with pus, ultimately the animal will be a trefa. Yet if you have a lung filled with pus, the animal is not a trefa. V'hari mayim zakin. We'll say what if you have clear water? The k'sherim hacha v'hacha. And we'll say now, again, if either the lung or the kidney are filled with clear liquid, The halacha is neither, both of them are fine. So you see again on both sides, there is not this inverse relationship between kidneys and lungs, as we wanted to say. Allah Amr Ravashi was a first wide line, nun heyom udbeis. So Ravashi says, Shefas kamadam isladodi. So Ravashi says, what are you doing? You cannot, in general, we'll say, we know, Shefas 101. You cannot compare the trephus of one organ to another. Well, so we've actually said this repeatedly. In other words, you cannot compare cases of trephus. Why not? Ein omrim betrephus zu dome lezu. It was in cases of trephus, you cannot make comparison between one organ and another. How do we know that? Shai chotcha mikan umesa, chotcha mikan bechaisa. It will say, because for example, again, just different organs of the body operate in different ways. So it will say, you could cut off a piece of an organ over here, and the animal could live. And you cut off a piece of an organ from here, and the animal will die. The idea being that halacha lemaisa, you cannot start making comparisons in cases of trephus. Umayim zakin ksherim, lo amran ela ditzili. Furthermore, again, I will say, this idea that you said that whether the kidney or the lungs are filled with water, that they're both fine, that's only true if the water is absolutely clear. Avalachiri trefa, but if the water is murky, right, if the liquid is murky, then the animal will be a trefa. V'chitzili nami lo amran, ela delo sriach. Furthermore, again, I will say, even if the water is clear, that's only if it's not putrid, right? Sriach literally means like it has like an odor to it. Aval sriach trefa. But even if the water is clear, but it's like putrid, halacha lamaisa, that renders the animal a treifa. So we'll say, ha'kul yeshek tino bedaka ad kipul. So we'll say, what happens if you have shriveled kidneys? Right? The kidney shrivels up. So we'll say, so the halacha is, if we're dealing with a behema daka, as long as there is a kidney present, even if it's shriveled up to the size, we'll say, kipul means like a lentil. Right? Like a lentil, like a bean. As long as there's some kidney present, it's okay. Begasa ad ka'anava benonis. So we'll say for a large animal, until it's the size of a regular grape. So even a shriveled kidney will not make the animal a trefa as long as it's as well. So again, it's really quite amazing to see these situations. So remember again, if there's no kidneys, the animal is fine. If it's present, the Gemara says, again, if it's diseased, it'll make the animal a trefa, even if it's just one kidney that's diseased. If it's shriveled, it has to have some basic shear. Behema daka, the size of a pool, the size of a lentil. Behema gasa, the size of a small grape. Or I should say, an average grape. Good. Weiter. So the Gemara says, Nita lechi atachton. Remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was, if the lower jaw was missing. The animal's lower jaw is missing, the animal could still be kosher. So the Gemara said, let's qualify this. Amr Zera, lo shanu ala shiachola lachios ayide li'ito. Right? Vahamra'a. So we'll say, this is only true if the animal could survive by being forced. Because we'll say, the problem is, if it doesn't have a lower jaw, it can't really eat. So as long as it has the ability to ingest food, so as long as you could shove food down the animal's throat, then fine, the animal will still be kosher, it's not a trefa. Obviously, if the animal cannot survive by being force-fed, then indeed the animal will in fact be a trefa. So weiter, nitla ha'im shala. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro. Nitla ha'im shala. So we'll say if the womb of the animal was missing, right? So again, the Mishnah once again said that halacha lemaisa, the animal is still kosher. Tana, hiya'im, hitafachas, hishalfuchas. So we'll say these are all just names, all different names for the womb. Since the aim, the tarfachas, and shalchufas. V'charusa bidei shamayim ksheira. So we'll say if it's charusa, but its charusa condition was bidei shamayim, the animal is kosher. So it says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, Eizoi charusa, what is charusa? So says the Gemara, Koshet samka rea shala bidei shamayim ksheira. Ultimately, we'll say, so charusa is a shriveled lung. If the animal has a shriveled lung, so we'll say it's actually very interesting. If the shriveled lung is just the result of a chronic condition, right, we call bidei shamayim, it just happened, the halacha is the animal is kosher. Bidei adam trefa. And we'll say, but if the lung shriveled up as a result of what? Some type of traumatic injury, then the halacha is that the animal is a trefa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, af bidei kol habrius. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, this is true even if it was caused by any bidik chavrias. What's a bidik chavrias means? Not just that if it suffered an injury at the hands of man, but what? Animals. Any kind of injury at animals, anything else. Yibay luhu. So we'll say, so here's the shayla. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Aresha kayu lekula, o asifa kayu lechumra. We'll say, we're not exactly sure what to do with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's statement. Because we'll say, listen to how the Braisa reads. So the Braisa reads, what is charusa? Right? Anything, anytime that the lung has shriveled up. So then the Braisa says, if it's bidei shamayim, it's kosher. If it's bidei adam, it's trefa. Right? If it's just a chronic situation, then the animal will be kosher. If it was caused by a man-inflicted injury, the animal is a trefa. Rav Shimon Elazar says, the same halacha applies if the injury was afflicted by any living thing, any animals as well. So, Rav Shimon, what are you commenting on? Are you going on the first part of the Braisa? And therefore, you're seeing the same way that if the lungs shriveled up, bidei shamayim. So too, if it shriveled up, bidei kalabrios, the animal will be kosher? Or are you saying that if the lungs shriveled up, bidei kalabrios, it's the same thing as what? Bidei adam, and therefore it's a trefa. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, disanya charusa bidei adam trefa. Remember again, the Braisa says, if the lung shriveled up because of an injury inflicted by a person on the animal, the animal is a trefa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, af bidei kalabrios. Asra said this is much clearer. So Rav Shimon Elazar says, even if the injury was inflicted again by an animal, right? By not just by a person, but by an animal, the animal will still be, the animal which has the shriveled lung will be a trefa. So we'll say, so we see that ultimately again, Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to add on to the bidei adam category. It's not just if the lung shrivels up because of a man-inflicted injury, but even if the animal was injured in an encounter with another animal, halacha lemaisa, again, halacha lemaisa, the animal will be a trefa. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, havaka azal bamidbar. So listen to this case. So Rabbi Bar Chana was once walking in the desert. Ashkach, hano dichri, ditzamik rea dido. So we'll say, so what happened? So he found some rams, and they had shriveled lungs. Well, I said, what must be the case over here is, right, the rams were hefker, so he shechted it, and he found that they had shriveled lungs. Asa sha'ul bei midrasha. So we'll say, so what happened? So he came to ask in the base midrash. In other words, so here's the shayla. So you shecht an animal, you open up, you have shriveled lungs. So we'll say, so what's the status of the animal? What's the status? It depends, right? If it was bidei shamayim, the animal is kosher. If it was bidei adam, or karen shriven alazer, bidei adam, or bidei abrios, ultimately, again, it's a trefa. So the shaila is, if you're finding this animal now and you're shechting it, you have absolutely no idea how the lung shriveled. So the shaila is, how do you know? So we'll say, so watch this. Amrlei. Shesetra barachana, here is a simple way to go ahead and, figure this out. Bekaita, if it's the summertime, I see mishkali chivri, go ahead and bring it. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, Mishkali chivri shakli cheres lavan. So we'll say, bring bowls, white earthenware bowls. And what should you do? Umalinhu, Rashi says over here. So umalinhu mayin kariri, fill them up with cold water. Va'anchinu me'esleis, put the lungs into the white earthenware bowl filled with cold water and leave them there for 24 hours. Ihadron baryon. So we'll say, if the shriveled lung was a result of a chronic condition, so apparently soaking it for 24 hours should cause the lungs to expand. And therefore, I say, if the lungs expand after 24 hours, that's a sign that the shriveling was bidei shamayim, and therefore the animal is kosher. If the lungs do not expand after 24 hours, that is a sign that the shriveling was a result of some injury, and therefore, again, it's a trefa. Besisva, we'll say, however you find this happens in the winter, I see mishkali shichumi, bring black earthenware vessels. Rashi says, shichimi, shchoros ve'inon mitzananos kolkach kilavanos. We'll say, so these are, because they're black, ultimately, again, they don't cool down as much as the white. Umalinu mayim pshurim, fill up the bowl with warm water. And allow put the lungs in there for 24 hours. Ihadra baryok shera ve'ilo trefa. If the lungs go ahead and expand, that shows that the injury was bidei shamayim, and therefore it's kosher. And if not, if they don't expand, ultimately, that's a sign that it was a bidei adam, and the animal is a treifa. Okay, next, hagluda. So we'll say, if an animal ultimately, again, was flayed. So we'll say, this is a case when all of the skin was removed from the animal. So turn Rabbanon. I will say, when it comes ultimately, again, this is what Machlokis in the Mishnah. So turn Rabbanon. Hagluda, Rabbi Meir machshir cham posim. So we'll say, in the case of the gluda, the animal that was totally flayed, Rabbi Meir says that it's kosher. The Chachamim say that it's posel. Ukvar heyet Elazar safra, Yochanan ben Gud Gudah. So we'll say, and Elazar safra, and Yochanan ben Gud Gudah already testified al hagluda shepsula. I will say, they already testified that what? That the flayed animal is posel. Amr of Shimon Elazar, Chazir bo Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, listen to this. So Shimon Elazar says, you know, Rabbi Meir ultimately, again, retracted his shita. Even though, again, I will say, in the beginning of this brisa, we have Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Meir says that a gluda, an animal which is skinned, ultimately, again, is kosher. And the Chachamim say it's posel. Shimon Elazar says, Rabbi Meir recanted. He recanted and he decided to align himself with the shita of the Rabban, of the Chachamim, that a gluda is going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, So we'll say what that sounds like is, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, ultimately again, Rabbi Meir argued, I bahatanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon Elazar, lo nechaluku, Rabbi Meir mecham ala gluda shepsula. Bet Rabbi Shimon Elazar himself is of the opinion, or I should say, Shimon Elazar himself was quoted as saying, that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim did not disagree about the case of the gluda. Rather, again, they both agreed that gluda is psula. So what does this mean? Ukvar heid Rabbi Yoshia ben Osh Rabbi Yehuda habosem lefnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Tarvon ala gluda shepsula. Yet Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you have all these rabbis also testifying that the gluda is psul. Vim nishtayir bo kisela. Now we're going to come back to this point in just a moment. But however, if there is a sella's worth of hide left on the animal, then ultimately the animal will be kosher. But we'll say, but our point over here is, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you make it sound like Rabbi Meir was arguing on the Rabbanon. But in fact, you're the one who was quoted as saying what? Rabbi Meir agreed with the Rabbanon that the glued this puzzle. So what's going on over here? Amrav Nachman, Milo Nechloku. What did Rabbi Shimon Elazar mean when he said that Rabbi Meir did not argue on the Chachamim? Lo amad Rabbi Meir b'machlokusa. It means that Rabbi Meir did not maintain his disputed position. In other words, Rabbi Osai, in the beginning, Rabbi Meir did disagree with the Chachamim. And in the case of gluda, the animal that was totally flayed, Rabbi Meir said that it was kosher, the Chachamim said that it was pasul. But Rabbi Meir subsequently changed his position and agreed with the Rabbanon that the case of gluda ultimately is pasul. Good. So here we go. Now, the Gemara just gave an incredible qualification. What did the Gemara say? Kind of just threw it in there in passing. Now we're going to expand on that. Or I should say, expand on that. Which is, the Gemara said, Amar Mar, Im Nishtayir Bo Kisela Kshera. We'll say, what did we say? That as long as there is a sella's worth of hide left on the animal does not have the status of gluda, and therefore, again, will be kosher. To which the Gemara said, Amar Mar, Im Nishtayir Bo Kisela Kshera. Hecha. So I'll say, so where exactly does this set, where does this sella's worth of hide have to be? I don't know if you remember Shmuel. Al pnei ha-shedra kula. We'll say it has to be, now we're going to define this more as well, has to be along the length of the entire spine. Along the length of the entire spine. So it says, you know, what does this mean? Ibai luhu. De'arich v'katin. Luhu. So we'll say, what does this mean? So now I need, here, so we'll say, now I have two facts. Fact number one is that in order for the, for three facts. What's the status of a gluda? Status of gluda? Pasul, right? I should say trefa. Trefa, right? And it's easy, everybody's agreeing with that. But yet, fact number two, as long as I have a sella's worth of hide, right, on that animal does not have a status of gluda. Now, but fact number three, where does that sella's worth of hide have to be? Along the length of the spine. So we'll say, now the Gemara says as follows. When we say along the length of the spine, what does that mean? Da'arich v'katin, d'chi metzarif la havik. So we'll say, so does that mean that even if I have a very, 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 very narrow strip of hide along the length of the spine, but if you were to put it all together, it would be the size of a sella, that would be enough? Oh, Dilma Berochav Sela Apnei HaKashedra Kula? Or does it mean that, no, I need a strip of hide along the length of the spine, and that strip at every point along the length of the spine must what? Be as wide, right? Be as wide as a sela. So Tashma, so here we go. Depar Shabbi Norai Mishmei Dishmuel Berochav Kisela Al Pnei Kala Shedra Kula. So let's see, now we answer it. In order for that to work, when we say a sela's worth of height, it means a strip that is as wide as a sela along the length of the entire spine. So the width of that strip of hide along the spinal cord must be at least as wide as a sela. Rabbi Rachana says, no, in order for the animal not to be a gluda, it has to have rashi prakim. There has to be hide, Rabosai, at the joints. Rashi says, rashi prakim, v'chol pirkei chuliosah, v'atzamos hashok, v'hayarach ba'inan shirisa, Rabosai, along the spine, but all right along the vertebrae, but also along by the joints, there has to be hide. Otherwise, the animal is a gluda. Rabbi Elizabeth and Sigan, Sushim Elizabeth, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Mokum Tiburo, both say by the navel. The navel of the animal ultimately, again, must be high, must have hide in order for the animal not to be a gluda. But Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel, Mito Mokum Ashedja Vakulo Kaim. Okay, so we'll say now Rabbi Yanai asks a reverse case. What happens if the hide along the entire length of the spine is not there, but what? But the hide of the rest of the animal is intact. So I'll say this is the reverse case. So what we were saying before is, in order not to be a gluda, you have to have the width, you have to have hide that is the width of a sela along the length of the spine. What happens if that strip of hide is missing? But what? So nita makum ashedra v'kula kaim. But the rest of the hide is intact. Or nita makum tiburo v'kula kaim. Rabbi say, or if you hold that you have to have hide by the navel, what happens if the hide of the navel is missing, but the hide of the rest of the animal is intact? Or nitla rashi praki v'kula kaim mai. So to see what the Gemara is just asking over here, you see, we had three different opinions as to what is the minimum amount of hide that's necessary to be present in order for the animal not to be a gluda. What we're asking then is the reverse case. What happens if those ikker places of hide are missing, but the rest of the hide is intact? Does the animal have the status of gluda or not? Which the Gemara says, teku, Eliyahu Hanavi. Amarav, kola ar kulo, matzil begluda. So we'll say, so Rav comes along and says, the truth is, as long as the animal has any hide on it, ultimately, again, that saves it from being a gluda. So you just have to have some hide anywhere, and you're not a gluda. With one exception, chutz me'ar beis ha'prasa. So we'll say with one exception, which is the hide by the hoofs. Now, what's the reason for that? If you look at Rashi, chutz me'ar beis ha'prasa, the hide by the hoofs, min ha'arkuvo l'mata, to lo havi ar me'shurach. So we'll say, as we're going to see in just a moment, because the hide by the hoofs is not really considered to be hide, but rather it's considered to be flesh. It's considered to be the basar of the animal. So because it's considered to be the basar, therefore, again, the presence of therefore that hide is not called hide, it's called meat, and therefore the animal is still a gluda. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu ar beis ha'prasas, na mimatzar. Rabbi Yochanan argues and he says, no, even if you have hide by the hoofs, that's still enough to save the animal from being a gluda. So Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan as follows, ar beis ha'prasas mahal shiyatzil begluda. So then the Gemara phrases as a question. Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, if you have hide by the hoofs, is that enough to save the animal from being a gluda? Amar lei matzil. He said, yes. Right? Hide by the hoofs is enough to save you from being a gluda. Amar lei. Limaratan rabbeinu barebi, you taught us. Elu sh'orosein kibsaran. This, I will say, these are the things where the hide is treated not like hide, but like flesh. Or beis ha'prasas. We'll say, ultimately, again, so Rabbi, you taught us. We'll say, so remember again, just to understand what's happening over here. This is Rabbi Asi asking from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi says, Rabbi, does the hide of the hoofs save the animal from being a gluda? To which Rabbi Yochanan responds, yes. Rabbi Asi says, but Rabbi, that's not what you taught us. You taught us, Elu sh'orosein kibsaran, that these are the pieces of hide that really are not like hide, but rather like flesh. And what's in that category, Abosai? What's in that category? Our beis ha'prasas. right? The hide by the hoofs, Rebbe, which one is it? You're telling me now that if there's hide by the hoofs, ultimately, again, it has the status of hide, but yet you taught us before that ultimately halacha maaseh is like flesh. Amarle al takni teini. So as Rabbi Yochanan says, Trevasi, stop being a nudnik, right? Don't be a nudnik. Stop bothering me. Shebeloshon yochid ani shona osa. Because remember again, I taught you that opinion of Ozai, but that ultimately again was a das yochid. I wasn't teaching you that as that brisa as the halacha. I was just teaching you that brisa so that in the sake of full intellectual disclosure, you will understand there are other opinions. Look at Rashi. Shebeloshon yochid ani shona osa kilomar yichidohi. Listen to this. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Rabbi Asi is, yes, there is an opinion that halacha lamaisa holds that the hide or of the hoofs is considered to be like flesh. But again, that's a das yochid. Otherwise, again, the normative opinion would be that, like I told you, that it has the status of hide and therefore would say the animal for being a gluda. Both of you, at least start this for today. This sanya. So listen to this. If a person shechts an ola, and when he's doing so, and he has in mind that he's going to offer up a kizayis of meat from underneath the tail. And he has in mind that he's going to do it chutzlim komo, outside of the prescribed area, pasul. Ultimately, you know, we'll say this is pasul, ve'in bo kares, but it does not carry with it a penalty of kares. If he has in mind to do it ultimately again outside of the prescribed time, pigol v'chayovin alav kares. Ultimately again, it's pigol and it's chayiv kares. Eliezer ben Yehuda ish evelim amishum Rabbi Akiva v'chein hayer Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda or ish ichos amishum Rabbi Shimon achas mishum Rabbi Shimon echad or shabes haprosas v'echad or so we'll say that shows you also okay v'echad or arosh shal egel harach. So the point over here is that you see, we'll say just on, I'm sorry to do that quickly, but you understand in all of these cases of karbanos, you'll only be chayiv for having erroneous das to either offer up outside of the prescribed time or outside of the prescribed place, if the particular portion has the status of basar, not if it has the status, ultimately, again, of hide. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rav Asi, is that you see these opinions that ultimately treat these things like basar and not like hide. So we'll say, halacha lamaisa, how do we pass? I know it's late, but I'll just tell you this very quickly. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradea paskins as follows. This is in Shulchan Aruch Yaradeh Simin Lamed Vav. I'm sorry, Simin Nun Tes Sif Aleph writes as follows. Get ready for this. Hagluda Asura. Now we'll say the gluda, the animal that is flayed, is pasul. Right? There's a trefa. Vehi shenifshat orab bin bein bide adam bein bide choli trefa. So we'll say, so again, however the animal became flayed, it doesn't make a difference. The animal is going to be a trefa. Vim nishtayer min ha'or rochav sela apnei kol ha'shedra v'rochav sela ala tibor v'rochav sela al roshe evareha harei zumuteres. Vim nito k'rochav, we'll listen to this. Vim nito rochav sela mi'al kol b'gav v'shedra omi ala tibor omi al roshe evarem ushar kol ha'or kaim shev. We'll listen to this. What the Shulchan Aruch does, I will say something absolutely amazing. The Shulchan Aruch takes all of the opinions. The halacha is, if the animal is gluda, the only way for it to be kasher is if what? Is if it has a sela's width of hide along the length of the spine, on the navel, and on the joints. So as I say, the Gemara accepts all three of the opinions espoused in the Gemara. However, if the animal is missing the hide on the spine, on the navel, and on the joints, but the rest of the hide is intact, the animal is kosher. So we'll say, so essentially, interesting enough, we adopt all of the opinions. In order for the animal to not be considered gluda, it has to have at least a sella's thickness of hide on the spine, on the joints, on the navel, but even if it's missing all three of these parts, but the rest of the hide is intact, the animal will be kosher. Shkayach, we'll say.